So hi, welcome to tonight's podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
Happy Monday.
It is a Monday, and I'm just tired. So if I got like a lot of sleep, it probably would be a happy, good Monday.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that's like, I'm going to start getting up at 5:30 every morning.
Dude, new year, new me. I'm a month late, but I'm trying something.
new year, new me coming up into the shortest month of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to see how long I last with this. Probably tomorrow morning. I'm like 8.
Yeah, when you texted me that this morning, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to last a long time. Like, you get up a lot earlier than I do. Like, I got up at 9:30 or 9 o'clock today to start working and didn't get out of bed at 9. But, yeah, you're like 5:30 bright and early. I'm like,
damn. It's not like I set an alarm either. That's just when I woke up. And I was like, okay, can't get back to sleep. Guess I'm starting my day. Yeah, I said, all right, I guess I'll do this for the next couple of days. You know what? Just because you said it's not going to fucking last, I'm going to do it forever and ever and ever. Fuck you. That's
sure,
what I'm doing now.
Sure. If you want to be sleep deprived and get up at 5:30 every morning and have all of your work done by noon, all the more power to you, and be tired by 5 p.m., like ready for bed at 5
p.m. You know, dude, it's actually like the dream. I got to get a little nap in at like 12. I think that's what I fucked up this time. I was running around all day today. Yeah. I didn't get my nap.
Didn't get the midday nap. Gotcha.
Yeah, they're underutilized, man. I feel like if more people napped, the world would be happier, right?
I can't nap. I can't do it.
I try.
I wake up more tired.
My ass. Yeah, exactly. I feel like I disassociate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Sometimes, unnatural.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be catching a couple Z's on the weekends in the middle of the afternoon. I'm like, yeah, no, now my day's fucked.
Exactly. And then you just feel weird for the rest of the day. It's just like, what was the point?
Yeah. I always get like jostled awake too. I don't like naturally wake up, so I'm like out of it. And I'm like,
oh,
fuck this.
What the fuck? I'm sorry.
I just spring out of it. Like, all of a sudden, my brain's just like, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Wait, come on. Yeah. Start fucking falling or something. Yeah.
So, yeah. In case you didn't see, we dropped new merch.
We did. It's Peanuts themed. Yay. Well, inspired.
Yeah.
Peanuts inspired. Yeah. I don't know.
It's Peanuts themed. We'll get in trouble. It's Peanuts inspired.
Yeah. Peanuts inspired.
We're drawn in the Peanuts environment.
Inspired environment.
Yes.
Allegedly.
GoodNoisePodcast.creator/spring.com. Get your shit. There's also a link below. Both the Twitch stream, there's a little widget, Instagram, or not Instagram, YouTube, there's a link down there.
Yeah,
audio platforms,
it's everywhere.
It's somewhere in the description, somewhere on your screen.
It's so very cute.
Yeah,
there's stickers, hoodies, jackets, shirts. Couldn't do hats because the threading looked weird, and I said I really don't want to be purple, because that was like the only option they had, and I was like, you know what, it's not what's
to pass on that.
We'll be fine. Yeah. We'll be fine without hats.
Yeah. So get your shit. Get your swag. And this past week, I went to a couple of shows. I was gigging a little bit.
I only went to one show. Maybe I go to gigs.
Maybe you go to gig. Maybe you go to gig. a single gig from here to there.
One gig.
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while, I find myself at a show.
Last Tuesday I was in Philly. I was seeing Beartooth, The Plot and You, Invent Animate, and Sleep Theory. It was also my first 21 plus show, where I was up on the balcony. Look at me, because the balconies in Philly are all 21 plus. So I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna be down on the floor for a sold out show. I'm going up there.
Yeah, and I went up there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You spit on them?
Yeah, no. I didn't
miss
do that.
Opportunity.
Yeah. I stood there awkwardly because I didn't know what to do with like significantly less people around me. But
it's weird, right? Because then you just feel so out in the open.
Yeah.
And you're like, should I move closer to the crowd? I hate being.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know like what the proper distance between people is up in the balcony, like what the balcony etiquette is. Because down on the floor, it is, if you're not
everyone's
inside the other,
other
person, you have too much space.
Yeah, you're doing something wrong.
Yes. But up on the balcony, I like kept bumping into people because I like had too much room and I was dancing around and shit. And I'm like, sorry.
Sorry, this is my first time here, guys. Yeah. They're like, we know.
it was a great bill. Like I've been thinking about this bill and dreaming about it since I saw it. What a fantastic lineup, Sleep Theory. It was great to finally see them. You know, getting ready to see them got me really, really into that EP that they put out last year. You know, obviously enjoyed the EP, thought it was solid. We spoke to the band about it. But I was just like, all right. back to what I was listening to. And then, you know, I started getting ready and I was like, shit, like this fucking EP is incredibly solid. They put on a great show. They played a couple of new songs. They're heavier, especially the first one they played. They are heavier. So I'm stoked for that. They said they got a record coming, so can't wait. Invent Animate also put on a fantastic show. Another band where, like, listen to the record. We interviewed them. I thought the record was fine. I really liked Immolation of Night. I've seen them a couple of times since then. But this tour, I was just like, I got into the record a lot. You know, top of the year, I got more bandwidth for new music. So I was been really into their stuff. We're going to chat about the new single they put out. You know, they played Immolation of Night. That song fucking goes stupid hard. But yeah, they put on a great show. It's great to see them continuing to blow up, because, you know, the last time I saw them, gigs were sold out as direct support for, no, not even direct support, second of four on the Currents tour in rooms a lot smaller than the Beartooth tour. Now they're second of four on a sold out US tour opening for Beartooth. It's pretty cool to see them growing, and I'm bummed I couldn't catch their headliner last fall. So it's great to see them again. The Plot and You, it's been a minute since I've saw them. The last time I saw them, they were opening for Silverstein. And that was 2021.
Damn.
A long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
And, they're a great band. They are awesome. You know, I remembered a bunch of songs from when I saw them with Silverstein, some straight bangers like, Paradigm and, Face Me, and of course Feel Nothing, which is the big one, the big song, which, you know, goes incredibly hard. They're a great live band. And then Beartooth, they came out, you know, they've been talking about arena production. They weren't kidding.
Thought you were gonna be like, they lied.
No, the production was there. It was very funny because Caleb came out without a shirt on, and then in between every song, he kept putting on different shirts and or jackets and or adding layers. At one point, he had on a shirt, a jacket, and a hat. Like, and it was added song by song by song up into the Better Me, where he came out with the whole fit on.
So was it like, does he have like a clothing line or something?
I have no idea what was happening, because every other time I've seen them, like, he might come out with a shirt, but that shirt's eventually gone and it's never put back on.
Every video I see of him, he's always shirtless. So I just expected, like, he's just one of those performers who just performs shirtless.
Yeah, but the pacing of this show was a lot more like an arena, where, like, it will stop, there's a lull for a second, the lights go dark, and then it goes up and it's the next song. Whereas every other time I've seen them, they come out on stage and they don't stop.
Yeah.
So that was certainly interesting. They always put on a good show. Set list picks weren't my fave, because they played some songs off the new record that I didn't like. And they covered The Killer's Mr. Brightside acoustically. Caleb covered it, and
double kill. What the
fuck? As a band that has 60 fucking original songs, and I'm just estimating there, pick one of those. No offense.
So, firstly, they covered one of the most popular songs ever.
Yeah.
And then did it acoustically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely a choice.
A choice. They didn't play the whole thing, thank God, in the middle of the set. Like, smacked out in the middle.
Fucking,
like,
time waster. Yeah, sorry. Like,
Caleb came out in the crowd. There was, like, a little, like, a tiny stage set up, like, right in front of the balcony, because I guess there was
a spot where they could set him up to stand in front of the balcony so that, like, he could technically have a B stage like you do in an arena.
Yeah.
And he stood on that and, like, you know, he said like a speech and then went into Mr. Brightside and played half of Mr. Brightside before he played the acoustic cut off of the new record, Look the Other Way. And then the show started again, but the acoustic bit was about 10 minutes long because he spoke for five of it, which is fine. It's all part of the production, and what he said was very powerful, but to go into it afterwards and play Mr. Brightside is certainly a choice, as well as playing the Better Me. Certainly, there were certainly some choices with the set list, but they also played some of my favorites. So, and you know, as someone that's been on here being like, they have to change their fucking set list, they did it. Now I'm not happy.
Go back.
Reverse it. So yeah, that was that show. Very solid overall. If it's coming through your area and is probably sold out already, but if you can get a decent price resale ticket, you should go. I don't know why you're staring at me like that. You should have been there.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I thought you were gonna like call me out yesterday because I kept getting notifications because I set reminders for shows that I want to go to, mm-hmm. but like haven't bought tickets for. Yeah. And I got like a reminder at like 6 p.m. yesterday. It was like Beartooth show tonight. And I went, I literally, I was like, fuck, it's like 40 minutes away.
And it's sold out.
And it's sold out. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm not going. Yeah. Shit. It was a 4-band bill though, so I probably wouldn't have made it. I'm gonna be honest. I've gotten weak and tired.
Jeez. Boo-hoo.
I'm one of those people. I'm sorry.
And then Friday I saw Pink Shift, Jiraiya, and Fox Teeth right here in Asbury Park. First time seeing Fox Teeth in a while. They put on a good show. Yes, sir. Jiraiya put on a good show. He performed his new song, Pin Eye, for the first time. And then Pink Shift put on the best performance I have ever seen them put on. The energy in the room was insane. They were feeding off of it. And, you know, that performance just left me speechless. I've seen them a lot of times. Like, it's like that was either the fourth or fifth time I've seen that band. And that was the best show they've put on, hands down. Absolutely insane. So yeah, that's my concert reviews. Coming up, I've got the Plain White Tees and Pollyanna in Philly and New York City.
Damn, the big NYC.
Yes, sir.
Big Apple.
Yeah, the big banana.
What the fuck are you talking about, man? Is that what fucking New Jersey is?
No.
Okay, I was like, you guys.
I was just naming big fruits. I don't know.
I don't fucking know what's going on. So the past week, Saturday, the 20th, January 20th, I saw the main headliners. And then I also saw Diva Bleach and Breakup Shoes. I said it was Weathers and...
No, that was a tour. Daisy Grenade.
Dude, Daisy Grenade. Mm-hmm. So those were the original people who were supposed to be doing it. And then for whatever reason, they switched it up. And because they added a second date, so then they added the Somerset and Weathers to the 19th, and then Breakup Shoes and Diva Bleach to the 20th. I was so confused because I was like, "Where's Weathers?" Entire fucking show. And then someone had to tell me, they were like, "Oh, they were last night." And I was like, "Oh, fuck,
cool, awesome,
shit, okay, that's fine." Got to see Diva Bleach. It was cool to see them IRL. I only unfortunately caught the last song ish because we were trying to figure out where the bathroom was. I was having a bathroom. I had to piss. So I came out and I saw them. Their energy was great. Everyone fucking loved their set. Everyone around me was talking about, wow, that band was really good. And I was like, yeah, they're pretty cool. Breakup Shoes was good as well. It felt like their music was a little, it's just like one bar softer than like everyone else. So it was kind of a shift in vibe, at least from my perspective. Still good energy, great performance overall, nice little interactive pieces. I love when fucking bands talk to crowds. I'm like, yeah, you ask us questions, it's awesome. So great sets from the two openers. The main was incredible. They had us vote for songs, which was cool. It's just like one time they did it. Bad Behavior was up for grabs, and they were like, it's gonna be something from, the Sticky album, and then one from the You Are Okay album, and then Bad Behavior. And that's one of my favorite songs that they've ever fucking released. So, my friend and I were screaming to everyone, we're screaming for Bad Behavior. And if you don't, be careful. Bad Behavior won, and I was very happy. Great fucking performance. The main killed it. They were just very happy because it was a sold out show. Both dates were sold out. Hometown show, Sweet 16 tour. Big moment, big energy. They played Thoughts I Have While Lying in Bed for the first time, which was amazing because everyone was asking for it the entire tour, and I would have been pissed if I went to a date closer to me. And then they only played it at their hometown show. I understand, but I still would have been mad. Great show, great openers, great band, great music. Thumbs up.
Hell
Overpriced
yeah.
water. Yeah. Overpriced water.
That
As
is
a
every show.
Yeah. I was like, why the fuck is it $18 for two bottles of water? It's like, is there
Woof.
something special in here? That's Liquid Death, guys. It's
Woof.
$3. But yeah.
We have got music to talk about.
Yep.
We're going to kick it off with Green Day's new record, Saviors. This ain't no father of all, I can tell you that much. But it
Definitely a
has.
step up.
Yeah, it has been funny to see people saying, this is the best thing they've put out since Revolution Radio. I would like to remind everybody that although Revolution Radio is 2016, the only studio record that has come out since Revolution Radio was Father of All Motherfuckers,
Oh.
and now this one. So we've only had one album in between the two.
This is better than Foam,
Yeah,
guys. That's all you're saying.
so
That's
yeah.
all you're saying.
It's a return to form, sure, but there was only one record there where they weren't in form at all and did whatever they want. And honestly, great marketing move to put out the worst record of 2020 and then just
Yeah.
return with an album that sounds like Green Day. And everybody's just like, this is the best thing since American Idiot. And like
Yeah.
the record is fine. I mean, I wouldn't be riding home about it being like, this is the best thing you're gonna hear all
Best thing
year,
Green Day's ever
or
released.
even the best Green Day record, but it's a fine record. I mean, I do get people comparing it to a record like Father of All because like that is the last record they put out. So next to Father of All, it is the best thing since sliced bread.
Fucking amazing.
Yes, but in the grand scheme of things, I thought the record was fine. My expectations for it were below the floor
Yes.
because of how much I did not like the lead single, so much so that I was just like, fuck this record.
Yeah.
I still don't like the lead single, which happens to be the opening track, but considering the feelings I went into it with the singles, I came out enjoying the record for the most part. I thought that it was solid. And it was good to hear Green Day, like good to hear Green Day not trying to do the last record again, because
Yeah.
not only did they do that record, they then did several singles like that as well that everybody seems to forget about.
They try to, yeah.
They attempted. So it wasn't like Father of All was a one-off and then they were like, that went
They kept
wrong.
pushing
Yeah.
it. They kept
That
pushing it.
went terrible and we should be glad we didn't have to tour off of it.
Yeah.
They then did several singles that sounded like that record. So it was, it's good to hear them doing what they're known for again. So I thought the record was fine. Like
Yeah.
not mad that this is the Green Day record we got.
When you put it in that perspective, I'm happy with this Green Day record. And like lined up to all of the other Green Day records. And this is coming from a person who's not a Green Day fan per se. Like as we say this every time we talk about Green Day. American Idiot, Dookie, good records. Great thumbs up. Thumbs up, great records. Mainly just American Idiot for me, because Dookie, I can only name the singles. Sorry, guys. But next to Father of All Motherfuckers, this album is amazing, leagues better. As you said, it is a return to form, so hopefully, this is kind of like a step backwards, thankfully. And then they kind of continue, I guess, finding their roots again back into kind of the punk I feel like I get crucified. Someone got crucified online for calling Green Day punk, and I'm like, I thought they were. I thought
their genre was.
No, someone was like, they're not punk. I was like, okay, I don't know what the fuck's going on anymore, man. I just pop punk, pop rock, what, metal? I don't know. I think this album's a great step back. Going back to what we knew and loved them for. Mm-hmm. Was the album good? In my opinion, it was just okay. The opener, as you said, it was our least favorite single. Wonderful that they put it in the beginning to kind of just get it out of the way. and then they had another single as the second one, which I also was not a fan of. So that was another, double hit. I don't like this one either. Bobby Socks was good. I enjoyed that song. One Eye Bastard was okay. And then it was kind of like a couple misses after that. Again, not unbearable, just not my favorite. But there was a three-track run that I really liked. It was Living in the 20s, Father to a Son, and Saviors. And then they kind of lost me with the last track. I was ready for Saviors to be the final track because usually
it felt like it.
Exactly. That's, yeah. And then he kept singing after that, and I was like, oh, we're not done. Okay.
Oh, shit.
It's like, fuck, we have a four-minute track after this. It's fine. But that was a good run. I wish they kind of left Fancy Sauce as a B-side or put it anywhere else on the album because Saviors would have been a great closer. I would have been very satisfied with that. But other than that, I mean, it's just an okay record. It's as I mean, if you're comparing it to shit, Father of All, it's going to look fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I wish Brendan Urie did this. after playing Pray for the Wicked, he put out.
Oh my God, Panic at the Disco's fucking back.
He reinvented music. Yeah. It's amazing. But no, he just put another stinker out after it. So that's why he's fucking broken up with his song.
They front loaded the record with the singles. They get the singles out of the way, like the 1-2 punch, and then Bobby Socks is like the quote unquote
cleanser, I guess.
Yeah, no, not the cleanser. It's the focus track because it had the music video that came out day of album release. Those songs were great to showcase the fact that the band is back. Like, we're not doing Father of All again, but I don't think they're the strongest songs on the record. There are way better songs further down on the record. So, if you weren't a fan of the singles like us, I would still recommend that you go through this record and listen all the way through, because there probably are songs on here that you will like, unless you absolutely hate Green Day.
Yes.
And these singles had me thinking I hated Green Day, by the way.
Yeah, so if we could still come out of this and say, it's an okay record and you actually like Green Day, you might like this.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Who knows? Yeah. All right. Neck Deep dropped their new self-titled record.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I hate to keep saying return to form. But this is another one where the last record, 2020, wasn't a bad record. It was certainly a different direction. It was a little bit more mature feeling. And, it left us wanting what Neck Deep had done for the rest of their career. And they came back, they took some time off. And they've got this new record here finally, fucking 4 years later. Jesus Christ. And
welcome back, guys.
and they're back, man. Like, this record was solid. It's what I expect from Neck Deep. Definitely that fun pop punk vibe. That's what I like from this band. So I got no notes, although I didn't realize we didn't follow this album cycle as well as I thought we did, because we covered Heartbreak of a Century, and then I was listening through and I was like, wow, they didn't have any singles on the record. And then I went to their Spotify, I was like, oh, they had four.
Ooh, we just missed all of them. That's fine.
Yeah, wow. Because it's typically, like, even if I only listen to a single once or twice, I'm like, that was a single, I at least recognize that one. I didn't recognize any songs on this record except Heartbreak of a Century, and I was like, that's fucking weird. But yeah, no, I thought the record was solid. No complaints on this one.
Absolutely, yeah, no complaints. Once it got started, it just kept going. It was good energy throughout the entire record. I definitely really enjoyed the closer, it felt like a close. Like, as soon as it started, I was like, this is the end, isn't it? And I looked, and it was the end. I was like, yay, they did good. It's so satisfying when they actually, in my head, get the track listing right. Because as we said with the Green Day, they could have ended it one track early, but I don't know how many people that went through, and they all approved that, but it's okay. I thought it was great. Yeah, genuinely. I mean, it's a great pop punk record. Definitely return to form. I still feel like I need to give the 2020 record another listen through. Maybe my ears weren't ready. Maybe they were ahead of their time. Or maybe it's still not what I wanted. Yeah. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I do think the 2020 record is solid, and just not what we were looking for at that point in time. Because at that point in time, when it dropped in the middle of the pandemic, people were looking for fun music, and that record is not as fun as what Neck Deep's music typically is. But I've went back to that record in bits and pieces, not as a full piece of music, but in bits and pieces, because they played it, some of those songs, live when I saw them headline. And I was like, I don't, like, people were ripping on this record. Like, these songs are good. Like, there was no reason for us to all collectively hate that record as much as we did. And I think people are starting to come around to it.
Okay, that's good. Poor Thing was caught on the crossfire. It was just wrong time. That's literally
that was, I think, simply the case of wrong time, because it is a solid record. Neck Deep are fantastic musicians. Absolutely. That was just wrong place, wrong time. Like,
wrong place, wrong time. Okay, so I'll re-listen to it, because it was... Yeah, wrong time. Yeah. Damn. Sorry, Neck Deep.
Charlotte Sands finally dropped her debut record, Can We Start Over? Patiently been waiting for this one for a long time. Got all the singles here in the front, with track 4 being the song she's been promoting on social media going into the record, Spite, which is so fucking good.
I was going to say, it is my favorite song on this record. Next to the Point North collab, which was just so exciting to see. First, they're the only collab on the record, her debut record. That's a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Great, solid track list. Spite is definitely the star, in my opinion, because it's just such a fucking ass shaking fuck you song. Mm-hmm. And she nailed it. I do think it was the closer and Die in This Room. Great songs. Sad as hell. But I liked it a lot. Yeah. Good job.
This record's incredibly solid, a very solid debut. I was shocked to see Point North on here. When I saw Point North make a post about the record, I thought John accidentally posted on the Point North account, and like I figured he just produced like some of the tracks on the record or something, and turns out they were featured on it, and I was checking the production credits, and his name isn't on there on the production credits. And I was like, oh, shit, they're actually on the record. Oh, shit. So that was definitely a pleasant surprise. Spite is also my favorite on the record, because it is just so, like, fuck you, and also so goddamn catchy. But the record takes you on a journey. It's got some ass shaking bops in the beginning. You know, you've got Spite there with just so groovy. And then towards the end, it slows down and, you know, ends off with Can We Start Over, the title track, which is a slow, sad ending to the record. But overall, I think the record is incredibly solid. Stoked to see what she does next. She's going on a headlining tour this spring. And just patiently waiting to see what comes next after that.
It's fucking, it's so exciting seeing her just go from the small artist when we spoke to her, where she was like, my big dream is to tour with Youngblood.
She toured with Youngblood.
And then she went on tour with 5 Seconds of Summer. And then, oh my God, then she did a collaboration with Taking Back, well, firstly with everyone, literally ever. crazy. But she did the main feature with Taking Back Sunday, which is still on repeat. I love that song. It's just, she's everywhere. She's done everything. And in all of the singles that she put out before this album cycle started, it's just already showed that she could do whatever she wants. So she's already kind of like broken that wall down, broken that box. So this is literally just the beginning. Yeah. I'm very excited to see what else she does. Not to skip past this record, because you should still listen to it, give it its flowers. But just past this, I'm like, what else you got up your sleeve? Because you've already kind of dipped your toe in everything else.
It is such a power move before your debut to just, like, do everything. Like, yeah. She did everything from an Under Oath feature to the EDM to pop punk to just everywhere. And she
everything.
It just paves the way before the record's even out that I don't do whatever the fuck I want. Like, this record has some songs that sound like the EP, but the EP was more pop punk driven. This is not.
No, this is just Charlotte Sands, in my opinion. That's it. Yeah.
So that's my favorite thing with her as an artist is she just does whatever the fuck she wants. Like it, and none of it all on paper would look like it's coming out of left field, but then you listen to it and you're like, nah, this is coming dead center.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think it's incredibly smart, as you said, to kind of put out literally every type of genre before the rollout, because then if you get big from the album, people can't be mad at you for shit you put out before the album.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, but if she started paved the way, you're just exactly. Like, the fan gets there and they're like, oh well, she does do everything, so now they're already ready, they're primed.
It's fucking perfect. She already set starters for like everything that she could ever want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for the metalcore.
Waiting for the rap, the metalcore, the EDM, the pop, whatever the hell you got, man. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Invent Animate dropped a new single, Sleepless Deathbed. Fucking crazy track name. I love the track name on this. I had to listen to it again because I was like, fuck. Goes hard. I love this band more than I remembered I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it woke me up immediately. Sorry, this was the track I was listening to at 5:30 a.m. and I immediately was just awake. Great song. I love it so much.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. This song's fucking incredible. I keep falling for this band, you know, getting more and more into them every single mm-hmm. time I listen to them. You know, fucking song just goes crazy. I like bouncy invent animate, but I love heavy invent animate, because there's like heavy like Immolation of Night in this song, and then there's bouncy like a song like Without a Whisper. And they do both so well, but I like my breakdowns. I like the heavier the better. So that's why I like this song. I listened to it the first time, I was just like, just blown away.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, vocals are just incredible on this track. I don't know, something on this track. It's just the clean sounds so eerie and just kind of like you're on edge, and then the fucking screaming just breaks you out of it. It's
so good.
They put something in this one. They put something in this one.
Yeah. It's so good. Games to Play dropped his new single, Girl Shaped Crater, re-announced that his debut record will be coming out in March. Tour seems to doing pretty well. There are some low ticket warnings in a handful of cities, so you should probably get your tickets if you're planning to go to that. The song is solid.
Yeah, it was definitely a shift from the Invent Animate track, which was immediately before this. It went from to... Aww.
Yeah. He's in love.
I liked the song a lot. Again, it's just trying to literally go like a 180. Mm-hmm. Great song, great vocals, cute little lyrics. I liked it.
Yeah. The song seems to be doing very well for him. It's already number two on his Spotify, like the top five, which means it is streaming very, very fast. The only song above it is, you know, I Hope You're Happy, which is
the big one,
the song. But it's awesome to see him continuing to have success. Very, very stoked for this record coming out in March, finally.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Nothing More dropped a new single, If It Doesn't Hurt. I keep getting Nothing More mixed up with Nothing Nowhere.
Nothing More announced go up today. And I was like, they're co-headlining with Nothing Nowhere now? They just brought him out as direct support 6 months ago.
I'm so happy I'm not the only one, because listening to it, I was like, where's the rapping?
Where's the...
Like, literally, like, what's going on? Where is he? And then I was like, oh, this is the guy who paints his body. Okay, cool. I like this guy. Awesome song. Vocals are amazing. I really want to highlight the guitar in the second half of this song. It's not technically a breakdown, but it's just or a guitar solo. I feel like it isn't long enough to be considered a guitar solo because it wasn't fucking 30 seconds long, but it was just a guitar part in the second half. It goes quiet and then it's just that's all you could hear, and it sounds a little distorted. Something about that part really just itches my brain. It sounds amazing. It like glitches a little bit. I don't know what they did to it. I really like it. I like it a lot. But yeah, vocals are great though. Very, very strong and powerful.
Yeah. This is a solid song. Hopefully the start of a new era, new album cycle, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
The song, very, very good. A solid band. Excited to see what comes next. Spirits was solid, and just new record 2024.
Excited, please.
Yeah. And tour dates near me. Virginia's cute and all, but that's not New Jersey.
Sorry, we win.
Yeah.
Wage war, nothing more, and sleep theory. That's got to be in my backyard. Like,
it's crazy because I don't know if I can go there.
Yeah,
either
exactly.
Of the dates that they gave me.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Sorry. Maybe you shouldn't come to Virginia, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Because
Glory fumbled the bag. She
can't
sorry.
Even go. I'll see what I could do just to spite you.
This podcast is all about spiting me is what is the vibe I'm getting.
It's you spite me and I spite you because you get all the fucking shows. I'm sorry I finally get two. Okay. All right. Damn.
Yours truly put out a new single, Call My Name. Fucking so good. Incredibly good. So catchy, so good. So did I say it was catchy and it was good? I like this song a lot.
Yeah,
I like
this
song a lot.
This song is a lot more poppy than I expected it to be. And I fucking loved it. Vocals are amazing. It just sounds like a fucking hit. It sounds like something I'm gonna hear a lot and I won't be mad about because I'll be like, oh fuck, I love this band. But yeah, great song, catchy yeah. as shit. Yeah,
I've been liking the vibe since the last EP, like the darker vibe, because it's not just in the imagery, it's coming out in the music as well. And I'm here for like the dark pop kind of
yeah,
vibe.
Dark pop.
So patiently waiting for whatever this is going to lead up to, hopefully, hopefully something bigger.
Yeah. Come back on the podcast. Let's talk about it.
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about it. The Plot and You dropped your new single, Closure. Great song. Great vocals on this entire podcast playlist was amazing. Just to start that off. Except one song, sorry. But not this one. So we're good. It's a great song. I think the pacing is great. My only critique is I wish the bass was bumping a lot harder because this feels like a song that needs that fucking bass boosted, not bass boosted, like fucking 100 gets, but like louder, bigger. And I think that would have just made it a lot more powerful because it just feels like it's a little hollow in that aspect. Other than that, great song, great pacing, catchy, fun. Well, not fun, but you know, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, this song was incredibly solid. After seeing them for the second time, I'm like, yeah, I'm a Plot and You fan this time around. Finally, you got me.
So.
Yeah, got me. So I like the song a lot. Volume 2 EP comes out in May. So patiently waiting for that. Landmarks dropped their new single, Creature. What a great band.
Fucking French rapping. Amazing. I loved the intro. It reminded me of United in Grief by Kendrick Lamar because it's kind of just that drum in the beginning with the rapping, and that's how I'm pretty sure it's the opener to Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, Kendrick's album. So it's kind of just like a everybody shut up type thing. And I really liked it. I liked just the rapping. Jen, like it fits so well, and I don't hear French rapping as often as I feel like I should now. But it's just it's because I don't know what you're saying, but it sounds cool as hell. So yeah, I really like the song, and it's heavy as shit. And I also really like the cover art as well. Something about it just it's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, this band is fucking awesome. The song was great. You know, the just waiting for new landmarks, new landmarks in 2024, because this is a band that's really popped off over the past couple of years. Finally started touring over here in the U.S. and I just need more of them in general, and also over here touring in 2024. It's crazy that they're bringing The Devil Wears Prada out on tour over in the UK and Europe, and The Devil Wears Prada just brought them out on tour over here in the fall.
In a little switcheroo.
With Fit for a King. So it's just like, it's crazy that like Prada is big over here and Landmarks is big enough over there where they're bringing Prada on tour with them as direct support. Just I keep seeing that tour getting promoted. I'm just like, that's so funny.
it's so fun though, because that means that they're like friends and they're like cute together or something. I don't know. It's kind of awesome. I love it. Anto Shikari, Jason Allen Butler, and Fever 333 dropped a new single, Losing My Grip. I love Anto Shikari. I love Fever 333. I was not the biggest fan of this track, unfortunately. I had high expectations because, as I said, I fucking love Fever 333, and I've just now gotten into Enter Shikari. So I was like, I like two of these bands. But it just didn't hit. Something about it just felt weird.
It was,
I don't know.
It was a little like too off the rails. Like Enter Shikari has the experiment, like they do experimentation very well. Like there is not one sound per se. Like a record might have a cohesive sound, but it is still an experiment throughout.
Exactly.
So when I saw these two names, I'm like, ah, shit. Like Enter Shikari, they can be crazy, and Jason from Fever 333 screams his head off in every single song, and he didn't do that.
No, like the one thing that I expected. Where is it?
He came in like to fit the vibe of the song, and then got a little bit louder. But that was not the Jason I know.
Yeah, like what's going on here, guys? Yeah. What happened?
I thought the song was interesting. Like I didn't care for it too much. I just thought it was interesting. Like you know, not what I expected when these two people were gonna get on a track together.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I think it's just the beat overall that kind of makes it strange to me, because it sounds like something hyper pop. Does that make sense? But it's just like, it's not, they didn't match that energy. So then it's just kind of like out of place. Yeah. I don't know, man. I wasn't. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Youngblood and Little Yachty dropped a new single, When We Die.
Little Yachty.
Yeah. When we all die, can we still get high? I just wanted to say the whole thing.
Sorry.
Can we make this segment very brief and just say the song sucked absolute balls and move on?
Okay. Here, wait. Let me just listen to one part and then again.
And I would just, to save everybody from having to listen to it, a majority of the lyrics on the song are the words you read. When you're reading the song title. So yeah, this song was fucking terrible.
I think I only liked Yachty's part, and that's because his the I don't know, effect he had on his voice made it sound eerie. And I was like, this matches kind of the topic where it's like death and whatnot, and I'm like, okay, you know, that fits. And then Youngblood came back, and I was like, you just fucked it up. You just fucked up your entire song.
Why, my name is Youngblood.
Like, his accent is just so absurd in, like, the best way at times. But then it's just, like, in times like these, it's like, I can't take you seriously. I'm so sorry. But, yeah, I liked parts of Yachty's, half. But Youngblood is just hit or miss, really. Like, I can never, like, be like, oh, it's okay. It's always just like, no, I fucking loved it. It's that was awful.
Nah, yeah, this wasn't good.
No. Bad Omens and Poppy dropped a new single, VAN. I saw your tweet on the Good Noise podcast account. I wish you said you said it, because I fucking loved this song. I think Poppy was a great choice. Firstly, because I'm pretty sure they're on tour with her. They brought her on tour for the Europe tour, I think. Thank you. I just pulled that out of my brain. Oh, look at me remembering something. So it's great. I always like seeing bands drop songs with support members on their tour. I thought this was great. I do think that Poppy is possibly one of the only, I'm saying this now, I could take this back, one of the only vocalists that I think can pull off kind of like the same vocal shifts that Noah does as well, where it's kind of like that eerie, high, what is it, siren-esque sound, along with the scream. So I think it was a great vocal choice. I don't understand why people are hating on it, because Noah's still on the track, at least in the live version. He still sings it with Poppy when they bring her out. I don't get it. I think it's great. I think it sounds great. I think the instrumental is crazy, and I think Poppy fits very well on it. Sorry, guys.
I'll never say this on Twitter, but that tweet was all engagement bait. And no one bought. No one bit. No one bit at all. There was not a single like on that tweet.
There were two.
you and me when we were going through liking all the tweets. That tweet was after I listened to it, expecting a Bad Omens song with a Poppy feature, and I got a Bad Omens song with Poppy on vocals. But the more I've listened to it, the more it's just undeniably an awesome song, and you can't hate it. And it's also kind of what I think we both wanted Poppy's last record to sound like anyway.
I hope she plays this on the Avenged tour, because then I could be like, yeah, this one song that I like. And then.
Yeah. Yeah. So so like taking it from that perspective, I'm like, yeah, this song's awesome. I can understand at least people's confusion with it, where it's like, yes, it is a Bad Omens song, and like you can take the cop out where like he yells a little bit in the back and he wrote the song, but like I do listen to Bad Omens, like for the band, that includes Noah singing.
He is a part of the band.
Yes. So that was why I was initially taken aback, and I can understand some of the criticisms there, but at the same time, Bad Omens is one of the only bands that I could think of that would be bold enough to do something like this, like just have someone else sing in place of Noah. So hats off to them. Also, by the way, they just passed 5 million monthly listeners today. That's 5 million monthly listeners for a metalcore band. That's insane.
That's very rare, actually.
Scene's alive
crazy.
And well.
Yay! I actually wanted to add on, because I was thinking of other vocalists that could possibly... Oh, shit. I'm going to make this very quickly. Ollie Sykes, Bring Me the Horizon. I feel like he could also copy or imitate or do kind of like the same vocal melodies, and has done the same vocal melodies that Noah is known for, that kind of siren eerie with the very harsh screams. Because I'm thinking of Kool-Aid, for whatever reason, is playing in my head. And I'm like, that sounds... very similar to Noah in terms of vocal.
Listen to the first two Bad Omens records, especially the first one. Mm-hmm. They got compared to Bring Me so heavily. Bring Me's definitely an influence of Noah's. He said it in the past, but there was a lot of, when the band was coming up with those first two records, there were a lot of people that were just like, Bring Me the Horizon, copy. And I think those records are great, but listen to them, because you'll hear it. You'll know exactly why you're saying what you're saying.
Okay. Noted.
The Home Team dropped their new single, Brag. I mean, this band, it doesn't drop a stinker. It's getting annoying.
Oh my God, I fucking love this band. I mean, I streamed Loud like almost 300 times. Sorry, guys, that was on me. Ass Shaker Central, firstly, both of those songs. I'm so excited to see what they have up their sleeve. I like their little dances that they do, intentional or not, in their little videos. It's so much more refreshing than someone just standing in front of a mic and just kind of like screaming at the camera. You know, you could see that they're all kind of just like shaking ass and having a good time, and it's nice. Great song. I love it. I love it so much.
Hell yeah.
North Lane and Winston McCall dropped a new single. Miasma?
Sure.
Miasma. Miasma? Sure. Sorry, guys.
Fucking crazy to see North Lane and Winston from Parkway Drive on a song together. But this song goes so hard. It's so fucking groovy. New EP coming in April, and I can't wait for more North Lane very, very soon.
Hell yeah. The build up in this track is incredible at the beginning. I love when tracks start like that. Great song. Heavy as shit. Fun as shit. little techno, little EDM moment. I think it's awesome. I love it. Well done, guys.
Hell yeah. Alpha Wolf and Ice-T dropped a new single, Sucks to Suck. Alpha Wolf announced a new record. What a way to announce a record with an Ice-T feature. I think we should just get that out of the way.
Yeah, I think, dude, this track is amazing. It caught me off guard. I had to do like a double, triple, quadruple take when I saw the feature. Mm-hmm. Great song, another ass shaker. I wish Ice-T was on it a bit longer because he kind of just yelled into the mic and I was like, that's fucking Ice-T. And then he like left. And I was
but
like,
he
what
kills
the?
His feature, dude.
No, he does. He does. I think it's incredible for Alpha Wolf. Incredibly happy for them. Huge for the scene. And I'm excited to see what else happens. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. No, this song's awesome. Ice-T matches the vibe of the song so well by just coming in and screaming.
Literally.
And, you know, overall, just very excited to see, you know, the rest of the singles off this record and ultimately listen to the record.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Bayside dropped a new single, Castaway. It's a great Bayside song. Yeah. It's a great song. I liked it.
Yeah. Very good. Very solid Bayside song. And just excited to see what comes next. I know they dropped a couple of three-track EPs, you know, over the past year. And curious to see if they're going to keep doing that, if we're going to get a record. Just, you know, more Bayside this year.
Please. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
And Bad Wolves dropped a new single, Knife, which blew me away because it is so heavy. So good.
Incredibly heavy. Heavier than, I mean, as you just said, both of us, either of us expected. Still great chorus, awesome song, thumbs up.
Yes, so good. Well, that is all the topics we have today. You can follow us on Twitter, @good_noise_cast. Instagram is Good Noise Podcast. Facebook is Good Noise Pod. YouTube is Good Noise Podcast. Every audio streaming service ever is Good Noise Podcast. Bandcamp is goodnoisrecords.bandcamp.com and Patreon is patreon.com/goodnoisepodcast. Corey's got your Patreon supporters, your Twitch subs, and your merch plug, and then we're going to sign off.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters, David Arrington, Matt from Pulses, Brady Zari, Pop Punk Apologist, and Eric. My flow is completely off. thank you to our Twitch subs, Coaster Lover, and Matt again from Pulses. Check out our merch. It is Good Noise Podcast. God damn it, shorten the link. It is goodnoisepodcast.creator.spring.com. Go check it out. As we just said, we have a Peanuts inspired line that's out right now. I think it's very cutie pie. I think it's awesome. You can get a hoodie. You can get a shirt. You can get a fucking zip up jacket hoodie. People call it zip up hoodies. That's just dumb. Get whatever you like. It's there. If you want a tapestry, let me know. I'll make it tapestry. If you want to hang up our little Peanuts inspired faces on your wall. yeah. Oh, and important plugs. Black Lives Matter, Stop Asian Hate, Free Palestine, support local bands, be a decent person, and listen to a new band, big or small, because there's good shit out there. Trust.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that is all we have today. I've been Shane.
I've been Glory.
And we have been the Good Noise Podcast. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.